Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, I'm Caroline Stanbury, star of The Real Housewives of Dubai, entrepreneur, wife, and mother of three, once divorced and now remarried to a much younger man. Uncut and Uncensored with Caroline Stanbury follows me as I live my life unapologetically and shows you that there is life after 40. I'm here to let you know that not only is there a life after divorce, but you have the power to make it your best one yet, just like I did. So buckle up and join me for the wild ride.
Welcome back to another episode of Uncut and Uncensored with Caroline Stanbury. And I'm so excited today because I am joined by Bryn Whitfield. Here she is. She's so exciting. You're my favorite on Housewives of New York. Well, you and Erin are close together, but you're my husband's favorite, so I'll have to back him. And you just make me laugh. Like, honestly, Bryn, what the fuck happened on the escalator? Are you okay?
Did you notice that I'm okay. Did you notice I saved my name in this group thing as Fire Crotch, by the way?
Okay. Dead. Okay. What's that got to do with your, with the S?
I mean, she just, no, that's it. I'm just saying, I just wanted to know, because I keep looking down and I'm seeing like Fire Crotch is speaking. And I just think stuff like that's so funny. No, I'm alive. Honestly, you know what's crazy? I've been tagged now in so many photos of people being like, new fear unlocked. I never knew that escalators were actually like dangerous. I'm not one of those people that's like, did you hear people are dying on escalators or from salmonella poisoning? But yeah, that was, it was crazy. So when we came down, I don't know if you were, did a panel on that stage.
We did.
Where there were two escalators. There's an escalator and then a landing platform. And then another set of escalators that like, there's like a holding area, right? When I came down the first, which fans didn't see, we were just getting lined up and Erica Jane was there and everyone. And as I come down that one, my heel got stuck in the escalator, but it was halfway like coming down the escalator. So I just jumped up. I kind of pulled him out. And then I walked down and I say to the producer, I'm like, hi, my it just got stuck. I don't think I should be like doing this. And then they're like, no, I mean, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. It's so quick, whatever. Just stand on the balls of your feet. So I was like, okay, I can just stand on the balls of my feet. Maybe I was being really, I don't know. So as I go down, I'm standing on the balls of my feet so that the heel, the stiletto doesn't go in. And then all of a sudden I just feel it sink. And I looked over at my manager, my agent, and I was like, I gave them this look. And if you watch the video, I like look at them panicking. And then I just start going like this. And I start doing the robot to distract because I couldn't move. I was like standing like a robot. So when it's coming down the landing, I'm thinking, okay, if I just really yank my calf muscles and strongly pull out, I'll pull the shoe with me. Thankfully I did that because then I just Barbie stepped out. And then, but I also didn't think they'd get stuck. I thought they would like tumble out and over, but when they went up like the Wicked Witch of the North.
Can I just say, we had been reading about this Chinese or Japanese woman that had been on a escalator the week before and literally got sucked the fuck into it. And no, lost her legs.
No, like it was just,
it was terrible. And we watched
that's
it.
That's horrible.
And so when we saw it, we were like,
is that the sort of porn you guys are into?
Yeah. No, nothing makes his penis go smaller than that. Let me tell you, that made it shrivel straight back up. But we couldn't believe it. Like we're half laughing at you and the other half, we're like, holy fuck, that could have been really serious.
I got so lucky that it turned out fine because it could have went a lot of ways. I could have fell forward. I could have fallen backwards, spread my legs to the world. Wouldn't be the first time, no joke. And a lot of bad things could have happened. And people are like, you could have actually got injured. I mean, thankfully I'm fine. And it all like ended up cute and adorable. But I think, yeah, I got like, knock on wood, I got really, really lucky in that time. But then I had to do the whole panel barefoot. I didn't know that it was going to go viral. I didn't know people would think it was funny. I was just honestly worried that people would be like, what the hell happened? She's an idiot. So as I'm sitting there in the panel, though, I see in my peripheral vision, I see these shoes.
I have to say it was quite sexy for me. So
anything she does is sexy for you.
It was sexy.
Yeah, you could burp and it's sexy for him. But, you know, you kind of have this way, like you've got this sort of, everything is foot in mouth for you. You kind of like, you're like me, but 10 times worse. Like you say anything. You have absolutely no fucking filter. Like, have you always been
no
like this?
Filter. I've always been that way. I managed obviously to keep it a little buttoned up with work, but like my close work friends, you know, I was always one that was like whispering the dirty jokes or saying such and such. One time I slipped in a board meeting. I won't say with which company, but I was like, you know, it's just so like, all right, already. I was like, ah. And I remember the president of my company was like, do you know what the fuck you just did at that meeting? And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like a couple times I would slip. I went to the second largest PR firm in the world here in New York. It was a lot of my old colleagues were there. And I did this panel discussion in front of their executive board. And she introduced me as, this was Brynn. I worked with her. She was a walking HR violation.
I mean, but
because
you are.
The thing, my mind just, I think everyone thinks that way. I think they either just suppress it. Like, I think everyone's making jokes in their head all day long. You know, you go to Starbucks or rolling your eyes at someone or you're, I think people, if you tap into it, I think everyone's actually doing it. I just, for some reason, have I'm stupid enough to actually say it.
See, you're like me. Like my whole life growing up, I always like used to flirt and make fun with my friends' husbands because I always thought that was a safe place, to be honest, and thought it was really fun to do. Because first of all, you make them awkward. And second of all, you know, it's not going anywhere. So they're kind of the easy target. So I get you, but I can see.
Okay, so what I just remembered now, and I wish I would have thought of this during the season when, because after that episode with all the Aaron stuff, I did get a lot of shit online. There was like a Reddit forum of like, I remember it's like 5,073 comments of being like, Brynn Whitfield is a home wrecker. She's a slut. She has daddy issues. Da-da-da-da-da, you know, and all this stuff. But, and now and people are writing, oh, if she ever came around my man, like they tagged me, like, you better look out. You're not like, try coming after my man. Mm-hmm. I responded to a couple of them. I was like, is your husband a billionaire? Cool. I didn't think so. So I'm not interested. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't flatter yourself. But no, it was like, it was kind of rough after that episode. Not kind of, it was definitely rough after the episode. And now thinking about it, because I watched Ladies of London.
Yes.
Didn't you get, when you had the cute outfit on?
Yes, I did it. I did it with the unicorn.
You got shit because people are like, you took it too far because you were humping, been someone?
I humped.
So it's the same thing. You get it. Like,
I humped him as a unicorn. How can you take me seriously as a unicorn? I'm not seriously. I was neighing. I was neighing.
Yeah, you were the most unsexy outfit.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's how I feel with friends. Like all of my guy friends and boyfriends or husbands. And I mean, I make awful jokes with my brother and he's just like, oh my God, get me away. So yeah, nobody's immune to it. I think it'd be one thing if you were, you know, never, that wasn't your MO, that wasn't kind of, that everyone enjoyed the jokes all the time and then randomly get mad. That was, I think, my thing back then, why I was shocked with that stuff between Aaron and I, because similar to, I think, what you experienced on Ladies of London, it's like, you know me, I'm always making jokes. 99% of the time you're laughing at my jokes. And then all of a sudden the winds change, the weather changed. In this instance, you decide to get mad at it. But it's like, you were never mad before. You're never mad after. So I feel like sometimes I don't like when people pick and choose when they like my humor or not. Like you either subscribe or you unsubscribe, but don't subscribe and then pick and choose.
But how does that roll into your relationships? Because you are so overtly sexual with your jokes and things like that. Like, I mean, when was your last relationship, by the way?
Last serious relationship?
And how are you single, for fuck's sake? Like, I don't understand. Are you literally just looking for the billionaire?
And what's wrong with people?
Yeah. Sergio, you're married. I'm going to have to send him away.
Honestly, I think I have a very, very positive attitude about dating. And I just don't, like, it's not that I'm apathetic. I care about having a relationship. I definitely cared more in my 20s. now I'm just not putting that much effort or energy into it. And so sometimes maybe I'll say, oh, I subscribe to this whole, my person will find me, blah, blah, blah. But I think honestly, it's just about, I'm 37, like I've been through the toughest parts, right? I've been through relationships. I've been through great relationships and awful relationships. And I've dated plenty of men and I've learned about myself in those relationships and I've made massive mistakes and I was engaged. I was very close to commitment. I watched friends get married and divorced and I dealt with, you know, the embarrassment of having younger cousins or friends get married. Friends get married twice. And I'm like, you found your person twice? I haven't found my person once. I feel like I've been through all nine innings of the game or whatever you want to call it. And I don't know. Now I'm just kind of like, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, like I'm done beating myself up about it. The fact of like, why am I not married? Why am I not in a relationship?
But
like,
do you think you scare me?
When I take that part, yeah, when I take that anxiety out, I'm like the happiest person ever.
But you're scary. You're intimidating, you know? Because you're such a large personality. Don't you think you scare them a little bit?
Yeah, I think you and I are a lot alike that way too. I would bet that a lot of men have. Sergio, were you intimidated by her at first?
That's what I was going to say. I think your personality is very similar to Caroline. Like you're like a boss lady.
Very
like,
similar.
You know, you're like this huge personality. And sometimes, I mean, me because I was younger and I kind of like, you know, I took it a bit differently, but I think it's, you know,
he went with the flow. He goes with the flow and he lets me lead, which I think is important. But I, you know, I don't think, you know, Bryn is looking for a man like that. I think Bryn wants to go a bit older.
I think I definitely don't want someone who's going to adore me, like, and then and kind of just lets you be you. And there's a lot of your guys' relationship that I really admire and that I really, really like. I've had a Sergio. Gideon was like Sergio.
Oh yeah.
And I kind of turned into a monster.
Yeah.
Because he lets you get away with murder.
He does.
You know?
Okay.
Like, because everything is baby, no, whatever. If you freak out, even when you're wrong, he'll let you be right.
No, but.
And I know that that's.
Until
woman
a point.
Wants,
until a point. When she really touched my balls, then I'm like, honey, you know, you cannot do this. You know, like
he has got better at standing up to me, definitely. Yeah. You know, and but I think that
you
comes, that comes with age too.
Yeah.
And confidence, you know, I think also for Sergio, he ended up moving countries, being in a place where he was living with a woman with kids and already built life. You know what I mean? Like the guy coming into your life now as well. So there was only so much. He had an audience here, you know.
Like no matter what I was doing, I was always going to be like the last one, you know, because the kids were always first. So it was quite tough for me. So that's why I let her, you know, be. But now I got to a point that I can be my own personality.
He can be his,
you know,
stronger in the relationship.
I can be stronger,
Which I think you'll see. But I think for you, I see so much of myself in you and the way you are and so bubbly and like everybody wants to have you around. And then that makes you, it makes you very intimidating for the guy to date, you know, because you kind of already have the list of what you know you want and don't want. And I wonder like what your compromise is going to be like, because New York is fucking hard to date anyway without the list.
New York is hard. You know where the worst is to date though? LA. LA is a fucking nightmare. LA is like the worst. I spent 6 years in LA. So I still compare, and New York is still, to me, I'll still defend the New York dating scene because LA was so, so atrocious.
Are you using apps?
No, I don't use them. Yeah. I still technically have a membership to Raya, and maybe once every 2 months, if I'm like bored out of my mind, I'll remember it exists or I'll get a notification for something. But it's really, Raya's fun when you're traveling. I think, when you're traveling, it's fun. Like in Europe, like you know, you can add in the app that you're going to be traveling. So then you'll start getting fed. Like if I say, oh, I'm leaving, which, you know, next week and I'm going to Switzerland or I'm going to London or something, you can add your travel dates and then you'll start being fed. And the first like 100 people are straight tens, like knockout. And I've had my guy friends tell me this too. They're like, and it makes you want to move to that city because you're like, what is this? Everyone just seems amazing and looks really hot. But then after like that 100 cycle, then you just, it's the same thing. And it's like any other app. I've been though for a while, I'm kind of actually, despite being so flirty, I'm actually deep down a very like kind of old fashioned. I keep asking all my friends, I'm like, what worked for our grandparents was being set up. I'm like, you have to have someone to set me up with. There's got to be friends or coworkers or a brother or something like set me up with. So I keep asking people to set me up. No one really has done it yet. I'm not like looking or trying. Like, I don't know.
Do you think it's
probably get on
harder now because of the show? Like, how has your life changed from before the show to now? Like, it's, I know it's only been a season, but
it's harder in the sense that I'm busier and my schedule is more chaotic. Because before I kind of worked more like 9 to 5, and then I was in that cycle, and then, like, you know, you go to happy hours and your weekends are isolated. So you have more time, and I was seeing my friends more and doing more things. Now my schedule is so bananas. And I thought it was going to be different when we stopped filming. Because when we were filming, I was pretty busy, but then I would just be tired a lot. Because to me, filming is kind of exhausting. The energy that goes into it, you don't realize that it's like energy, but it's like doing a presentation at work every day. But it's been afterwards, I've been more busy after. So I think it's my schedule being chaotic, but I'm not prioritizing it, you know?
No, I feel like New York has kind of, well, the world has kind of like fallen in love with you and your bubbly personality. So I imagine like it's gone absolutely nuts for you after the show, because I don't know, you do have this sort of very magnetic, bubbly sort of, you want to be your friend.
Your energy is amazing, I have to say.
Oh, thank you, loves. You too. Maybe it's because I'm not dating. No. I don't know. I should probably think about it more. Here's the thing. The only reason why I start, honestly, whenever I think like, oh, I should, is because of having a family. I want to have a family. So I sit here and think, oh, then I need to do that part in order to have the family. Because yes, I could just have children, but I want a family where I want it to be like two parents, nuclear family sort of, you know, traditional thing. So that's the only time where I really start thinking, okay, I should get on the apps. I should go on a date. I should do something. I'm asking my friends to hook me up with people or something. It's more so because I'm like, I should probably, if that's the goal that I want.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I need to take steps to reach that goal, you know.
You always make fun and sort of go, oh, well, unless he's a billionaire, I'm not interested. Is this actually what you want, like someone really rich? Or is it, you know, is that negotiable too?
It's negotiable in the sense that I would never expect out of someone else something that I couldn't, that I don't bring to the table or that I couldn't bring to the table. So I think it's a horrible thing to have unrealistic expectations for your partner, but you're not reflecting or replicating anything that you want in someone else. Like, I want them to be kind. Are you kind? I want them to be an honest person. Are you an honest person? You know, do you take care of your health? Are you financially savvy? Like, you have to be all those things that you want. Otherwise it would be an imbalance. I joke a lot about Billies because I've dated a few and they're great. The thing is, it's not about money to me. I mean,
Billies.
Is it actually a little bit of money? Sure.
Like, Billy? I grew
up billionaires. Billies. He was like, what is a Billy? A billionaire. Billy. What comes with dating a billionaire? Enlighten us.
What comes with dating a billionaire? Honestly, I think you don't have a lot of their time. You definitely don't have this time. You have to be extraordinary patience, I would say. A lot of patience. You don't have their time.
Do you have that credit card?
A lot, because they're always traveling, they have meetings, and it's not like organized travel. I mean, it's like they're here, they're there. There's always meetings. There's meetings everywhere. They're always on calls. They're always working. Even if you do something social, you go to a friend's birthday party, you're in a box watching a football match, you're shopping, they're on their phone, they're doing something, they're stressed.
It doesn't sound that fun.
I think that's a common. But then they make up with grand gestures.
What's the most expensive gift you got?
The most expensive I don't know the value. The most expensive gift I got was, there is a guy that was going from, I think, New York to London or Sweden or something. I don't know what it was, on his plane. And he was halfway, and we're going back and forth. And I was like, fine, I'll come. So he straight up turned it around. Okay. Start heading back. And then I changed my mind again. I was like, no. I just think whatever. I don't know. It's too soon. And then turned back. But he sent me a screenshot of like the flight plan. And he said something like, you know, this cost me like $175,000 to like come on his, because it's international long haul. That's a very expensive flight.
100%.
You know, most billionaires don't do international private flights. It's a massive waste of money, they'll say, or even really transcontinental. Everyone I know that has a shit ton of money, they don't use their planes as much as you think they would. But yeah, I remember him showing me the thing. He's like, you know how much this just cost me? And I was like, sorry, I just didn't know if I wanted to come or not. So that was probably, and I thought it was very romantic.
So you think you're going to be a perfect billionaire's wife, basically. What makes you the perfect billionaire's wife?
Yeah, I think I can put up with a lot of shit. Either that or a politician's wife. I'd be an excellent politician's wife.
Oh, another one. Why? You kind of don't want the guy that has any time.
Why don't you get someone like me? Like, just can take care of you and look after you.
Sergio, right? she's not asking you
out. I'm waiting on Sergio.
Well, no, it'll be after this money. Podcast. I'm sending him to
you. No, it's not about money. I always say to people, look, I grew up poor. I have no intention on ever being poor in my life. That I rely on myself to make sure that doesn't happen. But I'm very realistic and unapologetic about money. So I grew up in a household where everyone was scared of money, scared to open bills, scared to talk about money because we didn't have any, right? Then I inherited that like fear of money. And then in my late 20s, when I started to make really decent money on my own, and I felt safer, and I just started becoming very unapologetic about, no, I like money. I think everyone secretly likes money and no one wants to talk about it. Money makes the world go round. And marriages are no different. I'm sorry, but no one has ever filed for divorce because they didn't like the same Spotify playlist. You file for divorce because of irreconcilable differences, whether it be infidelity or a lot of times like financial constraints. And can money buy you happiness? No, but I think it can buy you a lot of support when you have a family or when you're in a marriage or when you're trying to take care of yourself. I don't know. I don't like this whole people don't talk about money. People don't talk about salaries. People don't want to talk how much their house. I grew up in that. And so I'm so, as an adult, anti that, because it's gotten me very far to ask my colleagues what they're making to make sure I'm making more than them, to barge into my boss's office with a whole list of everything I've done. And that's why I deserved a salary. On the third date, before I get naked with a guy, we're getting financially naked. What are you worth? What are your debt? Like, I'm just,
no,
like, I think
no, money- no, no, you don't go and ask the guy straight away what he's worth on the third date. Bryn, this may well be why you're single.
Most of the times it's Googleable. I think it's stranger to allow someone to be inside you and not know what they make and not know what they make, what their debt is. I think that's insane to me. I think that it's crazy to me. I'm like, you don't know the first thing about this person, but you're getting naked with them and you've never been financially naked with someone.
That's quite a big ask to ask a man to sort of bear his... I don't know. I don't know how you...
I think if you're serious. I think if you're serious with someone...
Oh, no, but you really just said third date. That's quite early on.
I usually give them three dates. And then if I start to like it, then I'm like, let's just lay it out. I ask too, what are you dating for? Are you dating for fun? Are you dating for marriage? And they're allowed to ask me these too. A lot of times I preface like, this is where I'm at. Like, where are you at? Are they dating for fun? Are they dating for marriage? I think all these things are so always taboo, and I don't understand why they're so taboo. You know, I think it's fine. I think it's totally, totally fine to ask and to want to know. People do it secretly. People are Googling each other's net worth. They're Googling each other's houses on Zillow before you go to a dinner party. Everybody does it. Everybody does it.
We were very straight from the beginning, I think, you and me, and we open everything, to be honest.
Well, you were 11, so I knew what I was getting.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, honey. That's amazing.
But, you know, definitely didn't marry you for your money. I married you because I love you. But, you know, I like the hustle together, and that's what brought us together and what we do. But I'm hearing from you, maybe, I mean, I guess it's just a different way of thinking, because Ooh, I don't know. Like, a lot of men I know would be turned off by that and sort of would end the date right there.
Yeah. Here's the thing again. I'm not asking it for guys I don't like. I'm not.
The guy that you do like might do a runner, like, and say, what the fuck? It's not your business. Why is, if you earn your own money, why is his money your business?
Okay. So we don't have to say third date. Maybe that's aggressive. I'll retract that. I feel like definitely before I would sleep with someone, I'm going to know everything about them.
Oh, okay. I mean, you know, look, I know New York is a much different beast. Like, I heard now that instead of taking you for dinner, people go for drinks, and they're going for drinks and maybe two or three dates that night. And it's like this interviewing people. And I just think it's just lost the charm. It's like a transaction. It's like, I mean, people are losing the sensitivity of being able to, like, what if you fell in love with someone and wanted to build a relationship? I guess you want a politician.
But 100%, I'm not saying you need to answer the question and be like that. I've dated a ton. I've been a startup slut. I've dated a ton of people that were like, I am, you know, just kind of pinching to get by. I'm starting my company. I love that. I think that's the hottest thing in the world. I would date someone right now that had $100 million in debt because he had to take on some private equity money to start something that he strongly believes in, and he's worked on it, and he's perfect. I would 1,000% support. And I'd be like, babe, I'll support you for 5 years. I have no problem with that. It's about, like, what I equate money most of the time, unless you're a trust fund kid, with ambition, right? And with resiliency, and men and women. And so I think that to me, it's just important to show that you work, that you're hardworking. Yeah. And it's more so about, it's ambition to me. Like, you get up in the morning, you're not lazy, you care, you're a contributing member to society, you just have to be doing something. I like worker bees. Like,
I'm 100%
behind
you.
That's why I like men that sometimes don't have that much time. I like, the hottest thing to me is like a guy that gets up earlier than me, goes to the gym, is like, babe, get up, go to the gym, or is like reading the newspaper. Like, that to me is so hot.
100%.
And I love when they're busy.
We have, like, a routine in the morning, and
working.
It's so important for me. He gets up and goes to the gym. We sit, we journal, then we do our day. And, like, you know, I think it's super important to have that. And I know where he is. Yeah. He's actually, you know, he trains every day with football as well now. Like, I love that, because for me, that shows dedication, and that he is, you know, that you have that, you know, you're not lazy at all. Like, you work 10 times harder than me. I'm the lazy one.
He lays down on bed all the time. Yeah. It's literally,
you know. I rely on him.
But I think...
But the polarity of that is very... That's yin and yang. That's masculine energy, feminine energy, the sun and the moon. That's important. So I think it's great. I think relationships need polarity. And I would very much... I look forward to the day where one day I'm the person laying in bed and being lazy and the other person's work.
The right one didn't come yet. You know, when you get the right one, you're going to put all your thoughts and, like, your texts aside. And then you're going to really fall in love, because I had so many texts I wanted in my perfect wife. And then I got Caroline, you know, divorced, 3 kids, you know, like, so much older than me. Like, it was literally nothing I wanted. And then I fell in love with her, and I love her, you know, more than anything. So it's just about, you know, just feelings.
Everyone tells me that the person that they fell in love with and that they're with didn't check all their boxes and da 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 and the thing. 100%. I'm thinking about letting go of my height requirement. I used to be like, they have to be 6'1". I'm thinking about opening it up.
Funny enough, I wanted that in my perfect wife as well. And then I got Caroline, which I'm like so much taller than her. So, you know, let that go.
I think I'm sitting here racking my fucking brains with men that I know that I could set you up with, because I think they'd find you so much fun. But I will do a checklist when I get off here.
Energy is the most important thing. And I think when you connect with someone, you just forget somehow about the rest of the stuff.
I'm not that obsessed with looks. I do like height. I prefer height just because I don't like to feel tall. I don't like to feel like big next to someone or tall. But humor, someone that can banter with me, that understands, that is quick. Someone that's quick. And then I can learn from. Like, I need someone, I say to people, I just need someone who's funnier than me, taller than me, and smarter than me. Those are my only requirements.
And I haven't
found that person yet.
Are you still doing full-time job as well as the show? Like, are you able to continue that with the show, or did you have to sort of make the choice?
Yeah, to date I have, but as of for Q1, I haven't taken on any PR projects. I don't have the time. I kept like minimize. I don't understand how anyone who's ever done these shows has been like, I'm still working full time and whatnot and doing everything. I mean, it's, let alone with doing it with and having kids and everything like that and schedules, it's very hard, I think, to maintain a typical 9-to-5 full-time job. So right now I'm not planning on taking on any projects in Q1. I'm starting so many projects in Q1. So those are all things that I have to like focus on and shift my focus and starting a brand and everything that comes under that umbrella.
Oh my God. So, what can you tell us what the brand is or not yet?
I can say it's connected to my, it's, I'm paying homage to my grandmother. That's all I can tell you. I'm paying homage to my grandmother. And it's bringing in some of my New York sensibility mixed with some, a little bit of like my LA lifestyle. So that's one brand. And then I'm actually starting to write a little booksy-poo. So it's interesting.
That's amazing. And, you know, when you move on from here and like, is it everything you expected? Is it better? You watched Housewives before, obviously, in the New York Housewives. You met them all. Like, when you met them all, how was it for you? Like, I mean, I know a lot of the New York girls, and I have to say I was a bit nervous as to what was going to come. But I felt like it was time, you know, for a change. And, you know, New York has moved on a lot. And you girls really represent New York today, which is amazing. But did you expect it to be this much fun? Like, you must have been nervous because, you know, Housewives does, we do get a bad rap.
Yes. I was wildly nervous. I was nervous going into it. I was nervous while I was untrusting while filming it. Look, I liked watching the Housewives. I hadn't watched Housewives the last few years, the seasons for New York, but I had watched it originally. I watched Ladies of London. I watched Beverly Hills back in the day and Atlanta. So I was always like a fan of it, but it was like my dirty little secret. You know, I wasn't necessarily proud, I would say, that I watched reality TV and all that stuff. And so when, as we were filming, you know, they kept saying, this is going to be different. This is going to be different. I was very untrusting. And then leading up to it was airing. It was so nerve-wracking. So I was like, there's no way. This is going to be trash. This is going to be whatever. I've spent my whole life trying to do something, trying to like, you know, create a life for myself and et cetera. Now I ruined my life. I was worried that I had, and the little life that I managed to create for myself. So it was a risk, but then it was just like, again, I had fun during filming, but in the back of my mind, I was nervous. And then it's been so much fun. It's wild how much fun it is. And I kind of like want to pinch myself. Like, I can't believe I'm actually getting paid. And now my career is transitioning like into this. It's very odd meeting the girls too, the original, the OGs. It's cool meeting them because they're exactly how they come off on TV. You know what I'm saying? It's like, wow, it's the same thing, like experience when you watch them on TV, meeting them in real life. But they all have been so kind and so nice. And yeah, and everybody's been, at the beginning when we first were announced, so many people. Also, we would see this while we were filming. It was like tags and comments, like, I'm not going to watch this show. I'm not going to watch these girls while we're filming. So that really got into it. Personally into my head, because it was a lot of comments. But then by like the third episode, they're like, okay, fine. And then it was all these tags of and DMs like, Brynn, I wanted to hate you. I wanted to hate you guys. I told myself I'd watch it, but I love it. So it was like a roller coaster, but everyone came around, thankfully.
Yeah. I mean, I 100% was one of those people. I was like, they can't beat it. It's just, it's TV gold, you know, right? The old ones. And then, you know, you've done a really, really great job because you feel like a really good friend group. You really do. It feels cool. And first series is always difficult. You know, nobody really off the bat loves them because they like, you know, the known. They don't like the unknown and they don't like new characters particularly, you know, to get used to them. So, you know, you guys have done such a great job, like looking and feeling like such a great friend group that everybody would love to be in. And then lastly, Brynn, what do you think of my facelift?
First of all, you've been the talk of the town in the United States. You're like in every single press outlet. It's crazy.
I mean, I find that, talking to you before, I find that so bizarre because I'm not the first woman in America to have a facelift,
you pioneered.
Seriously. Seriously,
I was at the grocery store and it was like all those magazines of like Us Weekly and whatever, and you were in every one, or you're like the thing on the cover. You know what I think it is? I think that it's because I think a lot of women related because A, you're so honest about it. But also I think a lot of women who are on I think a lot more people, women, men, are on the fence about plastic surgery, mm-hmm. right? I think gone are the days of people being like, oh, no, it's plastic surgery and you're this or that. Or I think a lot of people, because all the shows and it's like acceptable. But people are like, I don't know if I would really just go ahead and do it. Because you didn't look like you needed one. I remember when you told me.
You were like, don't do it. Like, yeah.
I don't know how this is going to go because you don't look like you need one. You don't fit the typical, I got one or I need to get one. And then the fact that you did it, the fact that you're so open about it, and then documented the whole process, and it was so quick and came out so great. I think everyone's like, is it this easy? Like, is it this great? You know, like the American Society of Plastic Surgeons should like compensate you and write you a thank you letter.
Thank you, Bryn. I'm putting that into the universe for everybody that's out there. I mean, seriously, the guy, my surgeon, got 50 consultations that afternoon. And he said it was the most requested facelift. And I think he has like, I mean, jokes aside, I mean, obviously, if he wants to pay me, but jokes aside, he has done a great job. Like, it's not when I'm 1 month today. It's fucking nuts. But I couldn't believe the fanfare over there.
I think, though, it just proves that when you go to, also, it's a rodeo. Like, Beverly Hills has the best plastic surgeons in the world. Mm-hmm. I think Korea does as well. But when you go to the right person, you know, and you get what you pay for in plastic surgery, I tell people that. I just had a friend asking me if she should get a breast reduction. She wanted to go to this Rodeo Drive doctor. She's like, he's so expensive. Should I go? I think I could get, I was like, you in plastic surgery, you definitely get what you pay for. So I think it's important to do your homework and be a good patient and follow all directions and rules and things. But I think they didn't even know that the industry needed something like you to be like, similar to like what happened with the reboot. This is 2023 plastic surgery in the US. Like, it's fabulous. It's fun. It's not a total walk in the park, right? And you showed that. And Sergio showed that too. And that it's not like it's just, oh, so easy. Therefore, you know, everyone should just do it. You showed that it's a fucked up process, but it's doable, right? And the outcome and the results are just worth it.
I think what was as well, what was different is like for other people, and I mean, you know, it's saying that at, you know, I mean, you're younger than me, but did you say you'd done your boobs? No.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And I did mine on Rodeo Drive. Well, and it was, I was at the Beverly Hills Hotel the next day having brunch.
Right.
I was fine. And I was like, wow, if I had more money, I would just do everything. It's so amazing. I went to the best doctor. He had done like three of my friends who I never know that they had their boobs done. And I was like, are you kidding me? I got to go to this guy. And he just specializes in like small, he's like, I'm going to give you what God should have given you. Took me from a 34B to 34C. And it was like the easiest thing I've ever done.
And that's my point. I think
thing I've ever done.
People wait till they look weird. You know, people wait till they look too old. And then, you know, when they're old and then suddenly you look really young. I think that's when everyone goes, oh God, that's awful. But, you know, I think it is becoming more acceptable. I mean, you do PR and all of this kind of stuff. So I think more and more people, but genuinely all of these things, like you just said, they're not necessary. It's not necessary. No one's died because their boobs are too small. It's just something, if you think about it a lot, why spend the time thinking about it? Change it. There are so many options right now. Again, mine is a very, very big deal that I did, but you know, there is many small tweaks you can do in between. And I just think being a woman is a wonderful thing today.
Yeah. I think it's fun to do it. And as when you get there, I mean, it's, and I'm sure you feel it now afterwards, like looking back, I'm like, I would do it again. I just feel like it's so in my looking, I mean, now in retrospect, it was easy during it for a few days. I remember kind of being in pain and I had like Tyrannosaurus Rex arms because you can't like put shirts on or do anything. So you kind of walk around like I was like T-Rex picking stuff up. But I just advocate for it so much. I tell everyone, do fillers, do Botox. Your boobs are too big. Get a reduction. Get a facelift. Get your nose done. Who cares? There's nothing in life worth more than you feeling good about yourself or you not even feeling good about yourself and fixing the thing that is plaguing you. Maybe you're just the type that you're just going to feel better. There's no better thing in the world. I mean, it's awesome. Like, it just feels really nice. I'm a huge supporter. Well, like, I love plastic surgery.
Before we leave, Bryn, give my listeners one of your like must have beauty tips because your skin's amazing. I love, you know, like what is something in your routine that you cannot live without doing?
Okay. So everyone always asks me to do it. I've never done a beauty haul or anything because I don't really use anything. I used to do those 13-step Korean skincare things. I worked in the skincare industry for 12 years. So I worked with hundreds of dermatologists, like celebrity dermatologists, and I learned so much from them. And their thing was always less is more. Mm-hmm. People are going to hate this. I stopped using cleanser.
No, some people say that you shouldn't even use water on your face.
I only at night I'll use water. Yeah. Or if I have like, if I'm doing a confessional or if I have like a big makeup day, I'll obviously take my makeup off because it's gross. But for the most part, I'll use water at night to kind of get like icky stuff off. But I stop using cleanser every day, twice a day. I was double cleansing. And I think that threw off something with my face. The second I stopped cleansing, the second I stopped doing more shit to my skin got better.
Your skin's amazing. Thank you, Brynn, for coming on. You have been
brilliant.
I've loved interviewing you. So has Sergio. And I'm going to put my thinking cap on because I'm sure I know a few men that would die to take.
I love Dubai. I will be there. Wouldn't that be a great ending to this? Whatever. Brynn meets guy in Dubai and then moves there. I would totally move to Dubai.
Or you could just come and do a crossover and come on Housewives of Dubai when we start filming. How about that? Come visit me.
I love it. I love it.
Thank you, Brynn.
Okay, please tell Sergio I said thank you. I love you guys.
Brynn, how can everyone find you quickly?
You want my address?
No, don't do that, for God's sake. I'll have to edit it out.
I'm still here, so yeah. I will take it.
How can they find me? They can find me in your guys' bed.
Oh my God. Well, that's it. That's it. I'm never going to sleep again.
I'm done with life.
Thank you, Brynn. That's enough. We won't be finding Brynn. All right. Lots of love. Thank you for listening. You can catch my new episode of my podcast every Wednesday. Please don't forget to follow so you don't miss any of the action. I want to hear from you, so leave me a rating and a review. Follow us on social for all the behind-the-scenes action and more information at Uncut and Uncensored by Caroline. See you next week.